In a world where there is a scourge across the land, taking the very life breath of the people. A world rife with snoring. One man and one show stand tall in the battle against sleep apnea. That man is Richard Webb. That show is the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. And the time is now.
Wake up, America. Wake up to the CPAP show. Wake up to feeling better. Wake up to breathing better. Wake up to getting a good night's sleep. This is your host, Richard Webb, on the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. In studio today, I have with me my guest, Dr. Thomas Spear. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to be back.
And we're here taking your calls live, 713-439-1560 on 1560 The Game. And we're taking your questions on CPAP, positive pressure, sleep disorders, problems with getting your mask fit. Today, we're going to talk about working with your medical equipment company. And that seems sort of logical, but, you know, when you buy a car, you can't figure out how the CD player works, so you go right back to the guy who sold you the car and say, I can't get this component fixed. Or if you buy one of these new sophisticated dishwashers or something, and there's all these hidden buttons, and so you go back and you say, I can't figure out how to turn the thing on. So we want you all, if you have a positive air pressure machine, to get on to using it and to contact your company and see about getting it to work the way the machine is designed to. But again, if you'd like to give us a call, and we will take your questions on air today, 713-439-1560. If you're just getting up this Sunday morning, you might not have heard about the passing of Whitney Houston. She died yesterday at the age of 48. Our condolences go out to her family, friends, and fans. But anyway, Dr. Spear, we were talking right before the beginning of the show, we were talking about working with your medical equipment provider, and on a day like today here in February, it's very cold, it's very dry. I noticed my hands this morning feel kind of chapped, and I woke up, first thing I wanted to do this morning was get a drink of water because the air was very dry and the heater in the house had come on. And so not only was the air going that I was breathing in being very dry, but the humidification device on my positive air pressure machine wasn't keeping up with the even drier air that was in the room. And I woke up with a scratchy throat and still trying to get it together here because of that this morning. But it all has to do with the dryness, and it all has to do with tolerating. What do you see as an issue with humidification?
I think, first of all, is understanding that the issue more is better with this. And that, I mean, is we need more humidification with CPAP therapy than we do, generally speaking, because we are needing more air, if you will, or a higher volume of air being pushed through our nose to maintain that airway. That's what the device is designed to do. So the more air you push across a humidifier that is drier, is going to take warmer water, if you will, to bring it up to a humidification level that is comfortable. Because the nose is going to do it one way or the other the best it can. It's going to warm that air up even more, add humidification to it, and filter it. So we tend not to increase that number. But there's always that challenge. There's a balance between if we turn that humidifier on our device up too high, we start getting condensation in the tube and the gurgles and things of that sort. So that creates what we commonly refer to as rain out. But generally speaking, just turn that up. And most of the people say, I've never changed it. Well, what the manufacturers have suggested and what most technicians do when they set it at minimal pressure, not at probably optimal temperature.
You know, humidification is one of those things that we only pay attention to at a place like Houston in the heat of the summer when the humidity is high. And I've noticed that our humidity level here in Houston, when it's very low, like a day today when it's cold and dry, it's still higher here than it is in a lot of cities outside the U.S. When you go to Las Vegas and you breathe in the air there, it's the amount of moisture content in the air is very, very low. And when the air is that low and you're breathing it in, it sort of causes a lot of tissue irritation in the back of the throat. And it does not allow the machine air pressure to operate at its most optimal. If you have a pressure setting of 10 centimeters, or we say you have a pressure of 10, sometimes that dryness can cause your throat to be sort of very much similar to a sore throat, a scratchy throat. Mm-hmm. And when that occurs, the air pressure, the dry air under pressure causes sort of a swelling. And we do see that people don't benefit. And it's funny that you mention about people getting their machine set, because if you get your CPAP machine in the winter months, you might have your heater setting at one setting, and in the summer months, you actually might have it. And again, in the South, you know, we have air conditioning to take the moisture out of the room air, and we have the heaters that naturally take it out of the air. So everything our houses have is done to remove the moisture, and we're trying to do everything we can to get the moisture back into what they breathe in.
Yeah, and it's very regionally based, as you mentioned it. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't need it in the summertime. Well, it's probably as needed as much in the summertime, especially August, as it is this time of year because of, as you said, the humidification in the air. Because if you air conditioning is working hard, it's working just as hard to get the humidification down. And that directly affects the comfort of the device. And you mentioned this, you know, a pressure of 10. You know, anytime you start going above 10 and 12, you may need a significant more than someone else. And a lot of times I don't think we're explaining that well enough to people that they, if they're on higher pressures, that's fine. We're just going to have to get the device to do what it's designed to do, because, you know, a lot of people are on 2 and 3 as a setting, and some of the devices go up to high as 6. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can deal with that problem of rainout that we spoke a bit earlier. But first thing is just increase it. And also something as simple as starting out tonight with a little bottle of saline nasal spray and spray it in your nose and have it by your bed. If you wake up, spray it again, because initially the nose is going to work very hard to humidify and warm up that air. And if it's cold or if it's dry, it's going to work harder and you can get some congestion. And the best way to handle that congestion is not a steroidal nose spray, or an over-the-counter nose spray, but just saline solution.
People think that they don't want heat when they're breathing. I'm a big guy, the hot air, I have a hard time breathing. But one of the things that we learned back in our too many years ago in college in physics, we learned that is air blows over water and it evaporates, the water cools. The air distal to that side begins to cool. And I think, remember, using the 4 degrees as a benchmark. So that just like when you blow on a hot cup of coffee to cool it off, you're passing over the air and you're reducing the temperature. And so the water chambers on these devices do need to be warmed. And I think that if there's a takeaway, I think everybody needs to know that there's a setting on their heated humidifiers. And some machine heaters go from 1 to 4, 1 to 5, even 1 to 10. And there's no magical amount, but it is a variable setting. Just like this morning, I got up and I turned the heater up just one click. I didn't need to go up 5 degrees. That would have been way too much. To make it comfortable, because the air was chilly, it's still very dry, but we turned it up just a step. You know, humidification, you can't see it, but you can feel it. You certainly feel it when your ceiling fan is blowing on you and your eyes get dry. And that tells you that you don't have adequate humidification, either internally or externally. So, and the body needs it. And so the takeaway, as I said, is make your humidifier high as you can stand it. We use heated wire tubing now on almost all of our machines. It's funny, we started this probably mid-2011, and we have not had any problem in convincing people that, of the benefits of the heated wire tubing, because the heated wire keeps the temperature constant. People think, I don't want hot air. I said, we're not trying to give you hot air. We're trying to give you that nice moisture to prevent you from having the dryness and the choking. But what the interesting thing about this is when somebody comes to us that has had a machine from 2 and 3 years ago, they don't see the benefits, and we can't convince them because, no, I have my heater setting on a low setting, and I'm very comfortable. And so it's not an easy challenge. It's a difficult challenge to get them to understand that might be some benefit in additional humidification.
I've run into that as well, and I think sometimes I'm asking the question, is that then an issue that we don't have them on the right pressure? And if we add humidification, does it seem like they're getting too much pressure? And it's a subjective issue as much as it is a clinical issue. So I've asked some of my colleagues across the country, should we re-titrate them either with an auto-titrating device, or should we bring them into the facility to redocument it with a heated wire tubing?
You're listening to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show here on AM 1560 The Game. I'm your host, Richard Webb, and we'll be back in a minute.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go.
But Wake Up America, Whitney Houston, February 11th, 2012.
Every step of the way.
You're listening to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. This is your host, Richard Webb, in studio today, Dr. Thomas Spear. And we're talking about working with your medical equipment company and making sure that you've got your stuff fixed right, fit right, set right. In the last segment, we were talking about humidification, and it's one of those taken-for-granted things, sort of like when you drive out of the showroom with your new car, everything's looking good, and the first thing you do is you go to the local cheapy place and fill it up with dirty gas, and it doesn't bother your car, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and pretty soon your car is chunka-chunka-chunka-chunka, making a little bit of a noise. We tell people, we tell them the right way to do it when we set up a patient for positive air pressure therapy. And sometimes it's easier to take a new patient who's never had a positive air pressure CPAP device and said, this is how you do it. You use distilled water. You put your heater setting on, you adjust it, and they get about a third of it. And probably the biggest culprit is people that use tap water in their CPAP devices. And I kind of laugh when they come in and I'm looking at their machine and I see this yellow crust. It's encasing the inside of their water chamber. And I say, what kind of water? Oh, I use distilled water. And I say, well, you got to think about where you're buying that water from, because it looks like somebody's tap water. Well, maybe I did it once, so... That is a big problem, making sure you use distilled water so it doesn't leave a sediment lined on the inside of your chamber, a good place for stuff to start growing. It makes a nice surface for especially mold, because it's warm and wet and it's usually in the dark, and so it has an excellent opportunity to start culturing all kind of nasty stuff.
What would you say to someone who, let's say they ran out of it and they've used it for a month and start seeing some of it, how would they clean that out?
It's almost impossible because of the it's like probably like plaque on your teeth. It layers and sediments layers upon layer, and it's a form of rock. Mm-hmm. And since most of the chambers are a form of plastic, I think it's been a long time since they've used anything but plastic, and the plastic is fairly soft. and this calcium carbonate, which is the main constituent in hard water, it binds with the plastic, and the only way to get it off is to get a screwdriver or some sharp element and start scraping it. But then you start, then you got a bunch of loose flecks in your water, and that's not healthy either. So it's just like anything. It's like good hand washing. You can't get your hands sterilized, but you keep them clean. It's like proper food cooking. You can't make sure everything is done, but you do. You clean your pots and you wash them afterwards, and that's the thing about that. And I think probably the scariest thing is when somebody just adds water to their CPAP device every day, and they just keep adding water and adding water until whenever it gets low, they add more water. And then they start saying that they're not using their CPAP device because they've got a chronic cough and a hack, and they're just not breathing as well as they used to. And I look at their CPAP machine water, and it might be pink, or it might be blue, or it might have green and black floating things in the water. And we try to say, there's a problem. It needs to go. We need to throw out everything, because you'll never sterilize it. You know, the original question, how do you clean it? You can, the best way to clean it is just to mild soap and keep it clean from the very beginning.
I think you make a good point. You got to drain that every night. And, you know, flush it out. And then how often should they replace that tub? You know, I usually tell people, you know, at least every 6 months.
Yeah, every 6 months. And they're expensive devices. They cost $25 to $40. And it's not something that people want to spend. But if they have an insurance policy that covers it, then it's something that they can do. They can replace that. And most insurances will allow that at six-month intervals. And what's interesting is there are actually some of the manufacturers have different types of chambers. Some chambers are fixed, sealed together, and some of them can be opened. And there is a logic to both of those. They have them sealed together so that the air pressure stays fixed and constant. You don't have a lot of air leakage. And some of them are meant to be open, and that's really so that it's easier to clean. And even if it's just opening soap, using your fingers, and the thing that you don't want to do is to leave any additional or excess soap. If you can smell, if it smells fresh and bouquet of flowers, there's something wrong, because that means you've got soap still in there, and you're going to be breathing all that in there. And most of that is, they're not real flowers that you're smelling. It's a chemical that's been added to it. And we a long time ago, when all these soaps came out that said antibacterial, everybody was real excited because, oh, I'll wash my hands and I'll clean them off really well. Well, you just want to wash your hands as you wash your machine, as you wash your mask. You want to wash it and you want to dry it. The trouble with some of these soaps that have something like antibacterial properties, and the main one is a chemical called triclosan. And triclosan, if you think about it, is like shellac, and it paints on the coating of the plastic or the silicone, and it certainly kills any bacteria that's on it. But using it over and over again, you start layering this triclosan on there, and it's like it forms a paint coating on that, and of course then it does the product doesn't fit as well.
Yes, that begins to change everything. I think one of the things that we don't do a good job at telling people up front is that all these, from the humidifier tub to the hose to the mask to the headgear, they need to be replaced more frequently. And the reason they don't get replaced is many times the cost. But I've noticed over the years the insurance companies have been a lot more willing to replace items on a routine basis, and probably the most active one, and that is Medicare these days.
Most every insurance company will permit you to exchange your products. There is always an exception, and everybody knows they have a good policy or a poor insurance policy, and you can by and large replace them on a schedule. We do recommend a schedule of mask every 3 months, humidifier chamber every 6 months, even the tubing itself. We like to see the tubing replaced every month, and some people think that's excessive because they look at it and they say there's nothing wrong with it. But what happens is you have 6 foot of hose that if you thought that you were eating off of a plate, of food every day without, excuse me, a month of eating off of a plate without ever washing it or cleaning it, you would be disgusted. And we see so often the inside of a tubing because we've cut them, and you see the actual mold that not only starts to coat itself on the interior lumen or lining of the tubing, it starts growing into the silicone basis of the tubing. And so most insurances will allow even a monthly replacement, or I've never seen an insurance company allow it less than every 3 months. So that's something that people really need to make sure that not only are they washing it, but they're replacing it as often as their policy will allow them.
And this is where they could work very well with their equipment company, mm-hmm. Is keep that relationship going, because it's that replacement goes on and on and on and on. And once you get that system in place, it tends to work for you. But if your insurance company changes or the company you got equipment from aren't responsive, you know, can they pretty much switch that to somebody that's more willing to supply them with product?
Absolutely. You know, that's a good point. You choose a doctor and you go see him. And, you know, I had a doctor that I used to go see, and he was a great doctor, but I can never get in to see him. I would be getting ready to go out of town and feel like I had the flu, and I can see you in 2 weeks. So that's not acceptable. So I had to change doctors. And the same thing is on your medical equipment companies. You were referred to a company when you got started, and there are many medical equipment providers out there that you can go to. Obviously, as the president of Monitor Medical, I would encourage you to come to our organization. But if you're not getting what you're needing, if they're not addressing your needs, by all means, consider changing providers. You would change your drugstore if they didn't take care of your prescription refills.
Very good, and I think that's an important point. You got to constantly monitor that, Monitor Medical, a little slip there. But the point is that I run into a lot of people that have stopped using their equipment because they can't get it running the way they want after a period of 6 months to a year, and either they've forgotten who they got the equipment from, or they don't answer their phone calls, or whatever be the case, and then they turn to the Internet and then they see the expense. So it is a very important component, because you got to keep this going on and on and on. And I think that, you know, the simple thing of the filter in the back, which, you know, is another one that people start getting a tickly nose, or they start finding that they're coughing a little bit. And not only might it be the humidifier and the tubing, a little paper filter in the back.
These are all items that are covered by in their insurance policies, and they all need to be replaced on a regular basis. And you can get away in the short run by waiting a few extra weeks and not replacing something. But as you pointed out, it's a real problem if you're not replacing your products as often as recommended. And I think we used to be concerned about bacteria, but what we're seeing more now, more than anything because of the moisture and the humidification, is mold. And mold being inhaled is probably more deleterious than bacteria. Well, you're listening to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. This is your host, Richard Webb, 1560 The Game. We'll be back in a few minutes and call with your questions, 713-439-1560. February 11th, 2012 was her last day. This is your host, Richard Webb. We're on the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. Today, my in-studio guest, Dr. Thomas Speer, we're talking about working with your medical equipment company, trying to get things adjusted, getting it right, getting it fixed. In the last segment, we were concentrating on humidification, proper humidification levels, getting the right moisture, a combination of heat and distilled water. You know, Dr. Spear, I get crazy people, and they want to put all kind of liquids in their humidifier chambers. I've had people say, could they put scotch or gin? And I tell them, absolutely not. It sounds like a lark, but I don't know what inhaling evaporated gin concentrated into your nostril or over many hours is probably not a very good thing to do.
Probably not. And probably the alcohol is going to wear out your plastic pretty fast.
And you know, and a lot of people also want to try and put something like Vicks Vapor Rub in there because they read about putting it in their home humidification device. And again, I have to discourage people from doing that. And all the manufacturers clearly state not to put anything but distilled water into their chambers. But the Vicks Vapor Rub would probably help your sinuses to some degree, but it's also going to dissolve the plastic. You know, eucalyptus, which is one of the ingredients, eucalyptus oil, is actually very toxic. And the eucalyptus trees, I don't think anything can grow under a eucalyptus tree. And I think there's only that koala bear in Australia is like the only animal that can eat a eucalyptus and live, and most of them. So it is a very strong chemical, and you have to be very cautious. So again, don't say that we ever told you to put anything but distilled water and change it. Please, please, please wash it and change your chamber. And if it starts looking discolored, then it's time to change it. But the earlier segment, we were talking about proper humidification and making sure that you put it your chamber on the right setting. And that right setting is variable throughout the year. And, you know, a heater setting at a midpoint, if it's a 5-point heater, 2 or 3 is a good starting point, but you may need to go up to a 4. And all that's doing is heating up the base plate and warming the water and allowing that fraction of a second as the air is blowing over it. I don't even know if they can measure how fast the air passes over that. It's just able to pick up a small amount of moisture. Now, we have a call. We have Kenneth from Missouri City. Hi, Kenneth. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, ironically enough, I guess it's God working for me. I left it on 1560, but I went to sleep last night and woke up with this, with y'all talking about dehumidifier, whatever it is. I was diagnosed having sleep apnea a few years ago, and I stopped wearing my machine because it was comfortable for a while. But in the middle of the night, it seemed like I was still, choking and coughing or whatever, But consistently, I wore it, and I found out through my coworker, which I'll just say it, that you can go get a new one periodically. Mm-hmm. And ironically enough, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow for my annual checkup. And I was going to actually go back to the sleep place, but I think I was just going to call this number that y'all just gave out earlier and just start coming to y'all because y'all seem like y'all got so much information. And the people I went to before, all they did was sell it through a third company, and they didn't seem like they worked with me as much as y'all seemed like y'all could. So that's all I was calling for.
Kenneth, you sound like you could be a spokesman for our company. That's exactly what the gist of what we're talking about today is. That I have a car mechanic, and I like him a lot. And I've had a lot of people work on my cars. I've got two grown children and a wife that goes through cars, and so. Yeah, I cherish my car repair guy. You know what I'm saying? And when you have somebody that works with you, whether it's your physician, whether it's your the guy that helps cut your grass, and he does a good job, you want to take care of that person. And that's really what we're here talking about in the radio show, to get people like yourself to say, I know I need to do this. And maybe for whatever reason it didn't work out well for me, but I know I still need to get into it. Do you happen to know what your pressure was on your CPAP device that we had before?
It was either I got this fancy machine that cost a couple $1,000. Thank God I got insurance. It's a remaster, and all I know it is I put it on a 2. Okay. Somebody else told me that ain't the pressure thing.
Well, that's probably your heater setting, that heater setting of 2. Well, I'm very pleased that you're getting back in on the device because obstructive sleep apnea is it's there waiting in the dark all your life, and we're, some of us are very fortunate. You know, people who are perfectly normal might have a little sleep apnea, and that's what, you know, I have Dr. Spear in here to help us, because there's a lot of subtleties to having a sleep disorder, and you can, and just about everybody, a perfectly healthy person, is going to have some apnea. And where it becomes a problem is when you have, when you start having it so often that it affects your sleep, and then it has all the physiological negative effects on your body. I mean, and you know, you can hurt yourself one time and not get and not be damaged by it, but you hurt yourself repeatedly over years, it is a problem.
Let me ask a quick question.
Sure.
Seems like, do you know anybody, any adult that doesn't snore?
that is an excellent point. That's what I'm saying. Everybody has it a little bit.
And okay. Snoring's part of the airway narrowing and moving around and causing that sound. But I do want to support you, Kenneth, and you follow up, because as you have just proven that, as you started, you had something that was comfortable at first, but it changes. And all this is very, I like to use the word dynamic. You know, the pressure changes, your need for humidification changes, the mask. I mean, it's an ongoing process. And if they're not paying attention to you and helping you get it taken care of, you know, follow up and with somebody you think can. And because I think you'll benefit from it, because you already have. You know what it can do. Just how do you keep it working?
Did you, when you first got your machine a few years ago, did you feel an improvement in your lifestyle? Did you have that, hey, get up in the morning and say, hey?
It's great. It was great. I mean, I should like sleep like 2 hours, 2.5 after. I got that thing and I would stick it in my nose and it was like, oh, man, this is cool. And I would just freaking like sleep 4 to 5 hours. I mean, it seemed like I would sleep without waking up double time.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend called me, Kenneth, I think they're drugs. I said, man, it's freaking distilled water.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, and there's been articles written about mood and disposition of how people feel when they don't get their sleep. You talk about, remember the old woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Right.
And that really has to do with the fact that as you are sleep deprived from choking, from that whole repetitive choking cycle that you go through at nighttime, that is one of the factors that causes. I wouldn't doubt it. There's an increase in divorce, certainly in anger management and stress during the day. I mean, all these things, and we tell people about them. And I'm glad you're out talking about it with your friends. You know, when you'd be surprised when you start talking about it at work or with your friends, and as how many people, oh, yeah, I got one too. And people that have these devices, you know, it's kind of like coming out of the CPAP closet. You know, once people start talking about it, yeah, I got one. Yeah, I got one. My brother's got one. And my husband, my dad, we all have one. So I encourage you to get back. And we have an office in Stafford, which we see a lot of people from Missouri City.
Oh, that's close. That's great.
And we'll be glad to help take care of you. And, you know, one thing is that you had mentioned the type of machine that you have. These devices are like cars and computers, and they continue to evolve significantly over time. And every couple of years, there's a tremendous development in the products itself.
Yeah, and that's what my coworker told me, because, see, like I said, I think I hadn't got mine at least 3 years ago, but he got one like recently, like maybe 6 months ago, and he told me the device he had, and he said, "Kill it." I clip it on twice and I'm gone. I said, "Oh man, I got this thing and leave a band across my head and I hiccup something to my chin, and then I put it on my shirt but you know another thing about him, he was on high blood pressure medicine, okay, and so he got on the CPAP. And then his blood pressure went too low, and the doctor found out, hey, look, it was all about your sleep apnea. You don't need the blood pressure medicine anymore.
And you know the side effects of high blood pressure medication. They are not most men don't like to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
And I tell the story of this one gentleman. He played some college ball. He was a big fella, and if you looked at him, he was not overweight. He was 6'3", 6'4". And he came in after being on CPAP for 3 months, and I swear he was going to kiss me, gave me a bear hug, and I said, okay, what's going on? He said, I got on my CPAP device, I went to my doctor, and he cut back my blood pressure medicine. I went back again, he cut it back, and he said, I went back a third time, and he goes, you're doing so well, I'm going to completely stop your blood pressure medication. He says, you can't imagine what that has done to my life, turned my marriage around.
Right. It's, you know, you're right, all those things, you know, blood pressure is probably the key things that once you treat the sleep apnea, that gets better. And
very fast.
Yeah, and you got to go back to your doctor and say, you know, I may not need this medication because now my blood pressure is low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I plan on seeing him tomorrow. I got a 9:30 appointment for Angus Driscoll, and I got y'all's number, 281-240-7222. And I will be contacted. So I just ask anybody tomorrow and just go from there.
Well,
I want to upgrade my machine. I got Blue Cross Blue Shield, so thank God I can use it. So.
No, that you're absolutely right. But there will your doctor may have you do a sleep study.
Maybe not.
He said may. You know, maybe it depends. Not. It depends on his treatment. Depends on what you tell him. It depends on a lot of factors. He may just hand you a prescription, and then you know we can try to work with it.
Well, basically, I'm gonna tell him I just need to upgrade my machine. I mean, it's been 3 years, but he's real nice, and he gave me last time. He gave me like 3 or 4 different places to go to. So if I mention I want to get to work with y'all, I'm sure he's real. You know, kind of like you said, the guy with your car. I can call this guy and get in, within a day or so. He's so cool, man.
Absolutely important to have that kind of relationship with your physician so you can get it, as with your DME company. Well, thank you, Kenneth. That was a great call, and good luck on using your CPAP the next time around. This is your host, Richard Webb, on the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. Be back after this break on AM 1560, The Game. Jason were here this morning, he'd want to know who this good Doobie Brothers are. This is your host, Richard Webb, on the CPAP Sleep Special Show. In studio, Dr. Thomas Spear. We have a few minutes left. If you want to give us a call, 713-439-1560. Talking about CPAP, but positive air pressure and sleep disorders, I want to let you all take advantage of Dr. Spear's many, many years of treating patients with positive air pressure therapy. Dr. Spear was seeing patients when I first got into it many years ago, and we have worked on and off from working with many, many individuals. And I say that in with all due respect, is that we are here in a capacity to help people, because as the premise of today's show is working with your medical equipment company who provides the CPAP machine, because just like every other service industry thing, some people do a better job than others. And it's important to work with your doctor, your CPAP company, your pharmacy, everybody who dispenses this stuff to make sure that you're getting what you need. One of the things, Dr. Spear, is that when you get a sleep study, the interpreting doctor will look at that and say, just like Kenneth, who called in earlier, he'll say, well, I see you have sleep apnea, and it is improved with a pressure of 14 centimeters or 9.5 or 27. It's some number. It's a pressure setting, and the people come in, and we fit them with a mask, and they go home, and they get to the point, and they say, you know, I just can't tolerate this. Not to the it bothers me. I'm just not going to wear it. I'm just not going to wear it at this pressure.
That's right. Pressure is an issue that we spend a lot of time and energy to find, and doing oftentimes a full night sleep study to determine the pressure in which we see the apneas and hypopneas go away, the snoring goes away, and we look for REM sleep. We look for them to be in REM sleep on their back, and not as often as we'd like, they achieve that. And so we try to make a determination based on the data in front of us what the pressure is. And I think it's a little naive of the sleep doctor or the physician to say, well, after 20 minutes at 14, as you said, that's the pressure. It's a good beginning. It's a very good beginning, and we're pretty good at the beginning. But that after as much as 2 months, you can see a significant change in the pressure demands. So, you know, I always look at the good adherence or usage of a CPAP is based on pressure, which I think is wrapped around humidity. And then I think you got to have a comfortable mask. And if you can't wear it up to 6 hours, if you spend 6 hours in bed, then one of those other two needs to be adjusted. So it's a very adjustable situation. It's dynamic like anything else. And as we talked about, seasonal changes, weather changes, if you travel to different altitudes, there's different things that can change. So sometimes we have to make those adjustments. In pressure in particular. And we've learned over the years that some is better than none, and not wearing it at all is worse. But if it's too much or too little, you won't like it. So I think most people can give you a real good idea of what's going to work for them. And so that may necessitate further evaluation. And we're getting a little bit more comfortable with some of the auto-titrating devices to make some assessments. But the question I always ask, if I can't move the pressure in the machine a little bit up or down and then see how well they respond to it, then I would like to get a more comprehensive evaluation in the sleep study just to see if there's something else going on, if there's any other movements or there any other issues, heart rate and heart rhythm, that may be contributing to the awakening. It may not just be the CPAP machine. But I think you got to look at it in a stepwise fashion. You know, do a little and see how it works, and then keep moving around. But if you have a device and you're not quite as satisfied with the response, and it's been over 2 years, go ask somebody. Maybe the pressure.
I had a gentleman in the office a couple of days ago, and he was coming in because his physician gave him a pressure increase on his CPAP device, and so I was talking to him, and you know, because, you know, we treat people a little bit differently when they're a brand new CPAP user as they're someone who's been using it for many years, because they learn some things and they develop some bad habits, and they develop bad habits towards their treatment. But this particular man, the doctor was increasing the pressure, and when I got talking to him, I said, how long have you had your mask? And he said, well, you know, I've had it since I got my machine. And I said, well, this machine has been out for 3 or 4 years. He goes, that's about right. And, you know, through my discussion with him, the gentleman had not gained any weight. He was fairly active in his lifestyle. Things hadn't really changed for him. And he said that he had done so much better when he, just like Kenneth, who called in earlier, they did so much better when they started. And then as time progressed, he started doing worse again. And I don't doubt that this gentleman, who had not changed his mask, and I don't think we asked Kenneth that, but this man I helped last week had not changed his mask in several years, and the physician interpreted that as, you are doing worse, let's increase your pressure and try and see if that one. And I really encouraged him. I said, well, we have to change your pressure now, but I really think that your mask it's become hard, it's become stiff, there's more air leakage in your around, and you're just putting up with it when you don't need to.
Right. Like we've talked about, you know, the mask can affect pressure, the need for less or more, and so can humidification, and so can how much sleep you get. If you don't get, let's say you go through a period of time where you're getting less than what you'd like, you may need more pressure. But then again, if you start sleeping longer, more regular sleep cycles, you may not need as much. And that issue of a dynamic change in pressure is, we've known about it for a long time. A lot of people are on these fixed pressure devices that never see a change.
Well, you've listened to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. I want to thank Dr. Spear for being in with us this morning. I want to remind you to work with your medical equipment company. If they're not working out, change medical equipment companies, or tell your doctor to tell you to give you a new named company. Your CPAP doesn't work sitting on the shelf or work sitting in the closet. It doesn't help you at all. Make sure you put it on. Make sure you change your mask. Make sure you change your water every day. I'm your host, Richard Webb, and we'll be back next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock Central Time, here on 1560 The Game.